Welcome back. The world famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And we are a news talk and actually mostly a entertainment radio show where truth is our bitch. And we go everywhere that we possibly can to suss it out. And this hour we have Bobbi Dooley joining us from the Western States Homeowners Association to talk about a new podcast that she's going to be doing called the Bobbi Dooley Podcast. Wanted to finish up also our thoughts on Jimmy Hoffa. Not that we had thoughts. We were just reading the story, and we were agog and aghast. We were sort of just shocked and stunned about a guy being buried, you know, and shot. And what thoughts could I possibly have?
Yeah, that's not my world.
Yeah, not my world either.
Nor is it mine. So all I know is Jimmy Hoffa. All I know about Jimmy Hoffa is what I heard as a kid. Again, this is something from my childhood. You know, it was always about Jimmy Hoffa this, Jimmy Hoffa that. He hated the Kennedys. Okay. He was the impression, and again, I'm speaking from memory, because when you're a little kid, I'm telling you right now, you really know by talking to a kid what the thrust of the message is, whatever gets through to a kid. What they understand something to be is generally what the message is generally the message that's heard. And when I was small and somebody said Jimmy Hoffa, I thought, oh, he's a crook.
So you didn't even see the Teamster side of it?
No, not a chance, man. Where I grew up in lily white suburban Los Angeles. So everybody was a Republican, or, you know, they were a Democrat, but they were a real lily white style Democrat. And Jimmy Hoffa, while people, there might have been people that believed in unions. My old man was a typical conservative. He didn't, you know, he thought it was all just a big waste of time and they were stealing this, that, and something else. And Hoffa, he was nothing more than a criminal, exactly. And in later years, as I studied the man's life, I realized that he was a very pugnacious, rambunctious, aggressive advocate for the working people. And yeah, it rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. And he made friends with the wrong people, there's no question.
What do you mean about pugnacious?
Pugnacious. He was ready to fight. You know, he's a very, you know, he's very, I was going to say irascible, but you don't know what that means either, do you?
No.
But get a dictionary and start looking these things up. Don't interrupt the show. And go, what do you mean by pugnacious?
Yeah, if I'd have to know how to spell it, and I don't.
Well, let me ask you a question here.
You're getting sidetracked.
I know, but what am I going to do? Pugnacious. What letter do you think that starts with?
You talk about when I get a dictionary?
Yeah, man, you got to know what, at least you got to know a couple letters of it.
If I had a dictionary here for you, and instead of bugging me and asking me what pugnacious means, couldn't you look it up?
You got, again, I go back to my original point. You got to look it up.
Okay, William F. Buckley. God, how is it you're so articulate when you're arguing with me? All right, so you got to look it up. Pugnacious. What letter do you think that word starts with?
G?
G?
Oh, my sweet, feathery, living, breathing Lord.
G.
Pugnacious? That's the one letter that you notice.
I noticed the P. P-U-G.
Yeah, P-U. You got that right.
All right, bud. Do what you want to do. Go through life sounding like a jackball. That's your thing, you know? Guess what? It ain't mine. All right.
Whatever.
Yeah. So anyway, Jimmy Hoffa was that kind of a guy, but, a criminal, crook, a two-bit, no-good, layabout? I don't know. So getting back to this story of this man, Mr. Zirilli, the underboss of the Detroit Mafia, his father was the head of the Detroit Mafia, and they say, this gentleman says in his new book, The Hoffa Wars, that Jimmy Hoffa was taken to a field up in Rogers City, upstate, Michigan, and he was buried in a shallow grave, and then they took him for a final burial. And then I understand, says Mr. Zirilli, it just fell through. What does that mean? They didn't have time?
Well, they might have gotten busy, yeah.
Oh, they got busy. Oh, okay. Well, you know, it must be a very, you know...
Well, Phil, don't be... You know, you're being sarcastic with the mafia, all right? You know what they do, don't you? You know, if they don't like... If you get an attitude with them, you'll wind up... what's the thing, bud, that we saw?
Yeah, well, you'll sleep with a fish.
Sleep with the fishes.
Well, that's not my understanding.
Okay, well, whatever. I can say what I want, and I'm going to say it. The mafia in Detroit, this sounds like a load. That's what I'm saying. Now,
everything sounds like a load to you today.
That's right. Everything does sound like a load to me. There, some days I believe things, and some days I look at this stuff and I go, well, this is just a, this guy must think we're stupid or something. There's one way of finding out. You go find the body. Otherwise, he's just one more guy writing one more book about where they think Jimmy Hoffa was. You want to know something? I don't care, man. At this point, even if you know where he's buried, are you going to find what's left of him unless they put him in a suitcase or something?
Well, to put him in a... Oh, God, I'm going to retch.
God, he'd have to chop it up into little pieces.
I'm going to retch. Excuse me.
Are you really?
I can't...
Hey! Great. You want a tissue?
Yeah! I'm better.
You know, Margaret, you're the only woman I know that can make real, masculine, almost beast-like noises when you throw up or cough.
You know what? I'll just go ahead and take that as a compliment.
Sure, okay.
Because if I took it the other way, then these knitting needles come out again. And you know what I said I was going to do to him?
Well, no, you're not going to threaten me with knitting. Put those away, please.
What a pain in the ass.
Put them away, please.
Real killjoy, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm sorry you can't have fun with your knitting needles. All right, so he's 85 now, but he sounds cogent and credible. Yeah, sure, says the author of the Hoffa Wars, Dan Moldea. The question is, how much does he really know, and how credible is what he says? Wait a second. He's 85, but he sounds cogent and credible. The question is, how much does he really know, and how credible is what he says? But he sounds credible. He's been persona non grata in the Detroit underworld for a long time. For a lot of mob guys, they blamed him for some information that leaked out and got some people in trouble. I guess they didn't whack him because of his father. But now the consequence of this guy being alone and broke has made him decide to talk, Moldea said. If he really is telling the truth about this, then I say pay him the money. His book comes out in March, and we'll know by then if he's telling the truth or not, said Dan Moldea, author of The Hoffa Wars, and a book that he probably wants to sell more than this guy. He's broke, he's old, he's selling a...
So you think that's significant?
Yeah, I think it's significant. I do think it's significant. 877-876-7445, Phil Henry Show. I want to bring on the line here Bobby Dooley, and Bobby is going to be talking with us here about her podcast that is coming up very, very soon. And I know, Bobby, that you are not only going to be talking with us about your podcast, but you're going to be telling us, of course, who's going to be guesting on it. And you and I know that you're in the middle of your winter-tacular there.
We are, Phil. We're in our winter-tacular here at Western Estates. My husband Steve is here. Right now we're kind of wrapping up with the first night's dance. The winter-tacular goes through this weekend. And
now, are people, is the general public invited?
Unfortunately, no. This is strictly for our residents and for guests. We raise a lot of money for charity. We had our fashion show this afternoon. We had our Junior Miss fashion show this afternoon. We are having our cotillion and our cocktail mixer. And we've got a wonderful DJ up here who's playing. This is my favorite song.
No, I'm going to get my wife out there.
Yeah, this is Return of Mac. Do you know this one, Margaret?
I do. You lied to me.
Yeah, it's great.
So I wanted to talk to you, Bobby, about your new podcast.
Yeah, and I do want to talk about it, Phil. But can I talk a little bit first about the Jimmy Hoffa disappearance?
Sure.
I just had an opinion on that. Steve comes from Wisconsin, which is near Michigan, and Steve had some information when he was a young man. And Steve's a little bit younger than you, Phil. So when Jimmy Hoffa went missing, Steve was a year old. But what did you hear then, Steve?
I was very young at the time, but I heard that Jimmy Hoffa was put in a truck, and then they squished it, or how did they do that, you know?
Give me the phone now. I'll do it.
Wait, one more thing. They squished it in a cube.
All right, I'll snap it in the phone. Give me the phone. Okay, did you hear that, Phil?
I heard it. Now, did I hear correctly?
So when Steve but I'm saying he was very, very young. But the word he got was that they... What did you say about a cube?
Can I jump in?
I'd rather, Margaret, that my husband say it because it was his information.
Yeah, but, again, I was very young.
Jimmy Hoffa went missing in 1975.
That is correct, yes.
When were you born, Steve?
I was born in October, excuse me, I was born in September of 70, excuse me, September.
There's no such thing as September.
The music is,
Music is very loud.
I'm sorry?
The music is very loud. It's difficult to hear you.
I can't hear what she's saying. Turn the music. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
I can, Margaret, yes.
I was going to say the music was loud, but it's better now.
Okay.
Bobby, it's Phil.
Yeah.
When was... Steve said he was born in September. There's no such month.
When were you born, Steve? For Christ...
Born September.
There's no such thing as September, honey.
September, I'm sorry.
September of 74.
Yes.
Okay. And the word he got when he was a year old...
How old were you when you...
Right after Hoffa went missing, then I got the word. Might have been something I read.
Well, where did you get the information that Jimmy Hoffa was cubed?
I heard that he got cubed a few months after.
Steve, Mr. Dooley, this is Phil Hendry.
Yes, sir.
You were only a year old, okay?
Yeah, I said I'm very young. And I know I was young, but, you know, when you're even that age, you're going to hear people talk. And you make a mental note, you know, as you would.
It is true, Phil. If you hear someone say something...
What are you going to make a mental note when you're a year? Or let's say...
Well, Phil, are you calling my husband a liar? Because I'd really hate to think that you're doing that. I'd really hate that.
No, Bobby, no one's doing that.
I think I'm talking to Mr. Henry.
I apologize.
That was very rude, Ms. Dooley.
I'm sorry, but you're being rude to my husband.
No, I'm not being rude to your husband. I'm asking... It's just a basic math question. If Jimmy Hoffa went missing in July of 75, your husband was born in September.
He said September.
There's no such thing as September.
Oh, my God. So you're telling me what months there are? Get a calendar, Steve.
What?
Go get a calendar off the wall. Go into the garage and get one of those. Get the calendar you have hanging on the garage wall that has this.
A little vice president.
How dare you? Phil, we'll get to the bottom of this.
We'll get to the bottom of...
Bobby, it's Margaret. I'm sorry, dear. I didn't mean to upset you.
That's all right.
But there's no such month.
Do you mind if I just check this out? Come, Steve, now.
You lied to me. Yeah, okay, here it is. Here's the calendar.
All right, here, let me look at the calendar. January. Oh, God, look at her. Look at the fat on her ass.
Well, a gun's my hand.
You know, my husband has this he's got this calendar. It's called Big Bottoms. What do you think of that, Phil?
Ms. Dooley, I'm not ready to comment on that. I want to get to the essence of your appearance on the show, which is your podcast, and you wanted to talk a little bit about Hoffa. Now we're getting sidetracked as to the names of months, okay?
All right, fine. I'm sorry. Excuse me for breathing. Let me just look this up.
I'm not attacking you for anything. I'm just saying, can we...
I understand. September... Wait a minute. What comes before that?
You gotta start in January.
Oh, okay.
Oh, my God. We gotta take a break, okay?
Well, excuse me.
Yeah, just... We gotta take a break. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth that is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
February, March.
Yeah, that one there is March.
April.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line with me, Bobby and Steve Dooley, in the middle of... And I do appreciate very much, Ms. Dooley, you celebrating... This evening you're celebrating your Winter-tacular, your first night of... how many nights is it?
Phil, our Winter-tacular goes three nights. We go through Sunday night. That's when every one of our seasonal taculars, the Spring-tacular, the Summer-tacular, and, of course, our Fall-tacular that we had back in... August, all of these...
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
You had your Fall-tacular in August?
We did, Phil. We moved it up because we just wanted to have the kids wanted to swim.
Okay, but what about your Summer-tacular?
Phil, don't... She knows what she's doing.
I think I know what I'm doing, Mr. Henry.
All right, I'm fine. So, let's get back to... you really like that song, don't you?
Yeah, I had the DJ. We've got DJ DJ Deacon.
Yeah, DJ Deacon D and David Dull. David Dull was last year, and they needed some help. So DJ Deacon D. And DJ Deacon Dee is his sister, DJ Deacon Dee, and David Dull last year
was Dull. Believe it or not, his name's David Dull, which is a bad name to give yourself if you're not good, you know.
So his, what do you mean he wasn't good?
The music sucked.
Yeah, but we said, you know what, David, we'll have you back this year. And he said, no problem, Ms. Dooley. I've got my bro or something. And he said, have you heard of DJ Deacon D and Dee Dee? And I said, I've heard of, I said, no, I haven't. I was going to make a joke about, you know, the D word.
But I thought you were coming on to him.
Exactly. So I said, no, I haven't. And he said, well, I'm going to bring DJ Deacon D and his sister Dee Dee. And I, you know, so.
And so they're playing just the Return of the Mac over and over again.
Well, Phil, you know, he's got more talent than that. I asked him to play it again.
Okay. I'm just joking. All right, so, Ms. Dooley, let's talk here now about the podcast, can we?
Well, yes, we can, but I just wanted to say one more thing about Jimmy Hoffa. Steve, my husband, is from Wisconsin.
Right, but your husband... All right.
Can I finish?
Go ahead.
He heard in... And I'll just say what Steve told me, okay?
Why can't I do it?
I'm doing it. I'll tell you what my husband Steve told me just moments ago. Steve told me...
Why don't you have Steve say it?
Because Steve told me, so now I'm telling you. Why is everyone trying to...
Darling, no one is trying to... Go ahead. This is Margaret. You go right ahead, dear.
Thank you. DJ Deacon D and his sister Dee Dee, along with Dave Dull, came to the house early to set up. And Steve, I overheard him saying, I know what happened to Jimmy Hoffa. I heard about it in 1975, right after Hoffa went missing. And DJ Deacon Dee said, the sister said, what happened? And he said that Jimmy Hoffa was buried in a cement slab that was going to go under a barbecue that some mafia boss was having installed. In other words, it was a barbecue in his backyard, and they needed a cement slab. And as a joke, they put Jimmy Hoffa in there, and this guy didn't know about it.
Why is that a joke?
Well, when he said we need a slab, and I think someone remarked, what was it, Steve?
Yeah, wait, I got a slab. And they go, yes, good or not?
Yeah, they said, we need a slab. Well, we got a slab. And they said, you know, let's go for it. The price is right. And they said, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I heard when I thought Robbie, well, you're right about it, but, you know, but bebop, 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 zoo.
Are you doing that shorthand again?
Yeah.
Just slow down.
It was what I heard when I was less than a year old.
All right. Now, I'm not going to belabor the point. You said that Steve heard that. That's fine.
Well, but you're basically saying that I'm full of you-know-what.
I don't know. I'm not saying that at all. I am saying that your husband's stretching the truth a little bit.
Mr. Henry, I can tell you this about my husband, Steve. He's able to stretch some things, but that ain't one of them, if you know what I mean. My husband can really stretch it. Don't worry about it. But that...
Oh, God.
All right. Ms. Dooley, about your podcast...
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's talk about that. When is it debuting?
The podcast, Phil, is going to be called the Bobby Dooley Podcast. It will be debuting in February, and we've got a really great first round of interviews that we're going to be doing.
And you will be doing who?
Well, we've already got the wonderful Patty Arquette in the can. She is she's just delightful, and we had a marvelous talk. I think we're on the same wavelength. I think Patty really, you know, respects me. I think she knows that I've, you know, she's a very smart lady, but, you know, you're not going to, you know.
You're not running circles down my way.
Yeah, you're not going to run any circles around me. So I think Patty walked out of there pretty much going, wow, you know, this was, woo, you know, she really.
So she was very impressed with how you were able to stay with her?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I think I went past her.
Yeah, I think you kind of, you know, you stayed with her, and then you lapped her.
What is that supposed to mean, I lapped her?
No, lap as a track. I don't mean lap.
Well, I don't believe... What does he mean by that?
Darling, hold
on. We got to take a break. He didn't mean... He meant lap as in when you lap somebody in track, you go around them.
Well, that...
All right, hold on. The Phil Hendry Show will be right back. Why is everybody with a filthy mind?
Well, talk about lapping.
No.
Well, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Will you knock it off, Margaret?
I should be putting one of these to the things I'm fixing.
Phil Hendry.
Blah, blah, blah.
Welcome back here on the Phil Hendry Show. Bobby and Steve Dooley with us here. Margaret Gray, Robert Leonard, Bud Dickman with us as we talk with the Dooleys from their Wintertacular there at the Western Estates Homeowners Association. The Wintertacular is a charity event that they're. I can hear the song.
We like the song a lot, and we did hire DJ Deacon DD and DJ Deacon DD and DJ D.
DJ Deacon D.
Deacon D, DJ Deacon D, and Dave Dull.
Dave Dull. This cat's got an interesting name, doesn't he?
Well, you got to have a show busy name, Phil.
Yeah, but that's not exactly the kind of name that's going to inspire me any confidence in somebody hiring a DJ, is it?
No, they don't.
Yeah, because the hip-hop artists today, Phil, if you're familiar with hip-hop...
I listen to a little bit of it.
Oh, you listen to it? Oh, get him.
Seriously, Mr. Renner?
I listen to a little hip-hop, yeah.
Well, is this a second childhood thing, or...?
No, ma'am, no. It's, you know what it is? It's me trying to stay current, and it's me trying to stay current with the culture, and about as current as you can get, in my opinion, is listening to hip-hop. I don't know if...
What about what's the lady, Taylor Swift?
What about her, man?
Don't you think that's current?
I think it's all current, yes. But I can only stay in touch with so much, so I listen to hip-hop. In any event, let's move past that. So I forget where we left off, but I want to ask about the podcast.
Yes, the podcast, Phil, is going to be debuting in February. We have Patty Arquette, who I said, now I got to start all over again.
No, you don't have to start all over again. You talk circles around her.
Oh, that's right, Steve. I really would like my husband to explain that.
No, he doesn't.
Excuse me, Mr. Hendry, but he's my husband, not yours.
Of course.
He's my husband, not yours.
We know...
He's my husband and not yours, Margaret.
Go ahead.
Steve?
When I said lap, honey, I didn't mean lap. You're going to lap a lady. You didn't lap her. I meant in track, when you start on the track, okay?
Yes, I'm listening.
When you start running and you go so fast, I'm scared.
It's all right. If you answer correctly, there's nothing to be afraid of.
Ms. Dooley, we're taking...
He's my husband, not yours.
I know he's your husband. We're taking up valuable time on my show.
Just let him... This is a very important thing for him to explain. If he's trying to say to me and your audience that I had some kind of a lap session with Patty Arquette...
Nobody's saying that. Lapping is in when you start out racing on a track and you pass the person in the circle, you've lapped them.
So it's a track term.
Track and field, yeah.
Well, you could have said that.
Bobby, we've been trying to say it.
All right. So, where was I?
All right, Patty Arquette.
Patty Arquette. Then we are going to have Sugar Leonard,
Sugar Ray.
Sugar Ray Leonard.
Sugar Ray Leonard, okay, great.
Yeah. And then we're going to have the great George Lopez, okay? And then we're going to have the great Joel McHale. So that's how we're rolling it out. Those will be the first four, and we're very excited, Phil.
Now, how long will the podcast be?
It'll be anywhere from 20 to 30 minutes. Is that what we thought, Steve?
Yeah, 20 to 30 minutes, depending on, everything about it. But Bobby interviewed Patty Arquette for like an hour.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, Bobby. I really am. In fact, I don't think I've looked forward to a podcast more than listening to you talk to some of these celebrities. Do you get starstruck?
Well... No, I don't get starstruck because I do, but then I remember that I'm the president of the Western States Homeowners Association, and it's...
Doesn't get much better than that, does it?
No, it doesn't. And so when you sit down with a big star like George Lopez, and you go, yeah, he's big, but guess what?
Yeah, but what's your thing?
Exactly. So you sort of...
You get some perspective. I'm looking forward to it, and I do want to interview you, darling, for my column.
I'd love to do it, Margaret.
Great.
I'd really love to do it, because we do want to get as much press as we can.
All right, Bobby, congratulations. We are all, my audience included, my subscribers on PhilHenryShow.com, we're all looking forward to,
Well, no, it goes like, the Bobby Dilley podcast.
Yeah, you got to do it right.
Yeah, do you remember the Chuck Berry documentary where he basically excoriated or exfoliated, I forget which, Keith Richards?
Well, he didn't exfoliate Keith Richards.
That means he gave him a spa treatment.
Oh, okay, no. Well, he excruciated or something.
He excoriated.
Yes. And he said to Keith Richards, you play guitar like a man with no hands. And
No, he didn't. He simply took exception to Keith Richards not hitting that one note.
That's it, yes. Well, because that note is really important to Chuck Berry. It was the song, I forget the song. But anyway, when you don't go properly... You are disrespecting my podcast.
All right, I'm sorry. It's
That's better, yeah.
The Bobby Dilley podcast, debuting in February, and it'll be on the Sideshow Network.
Which is the same one that your podcast is on, Phil.
Great. And we're looking forward to it, very, very much so. Congratulations on the success of your winter tacketer, Bobby.
And, Bobby, I'm going to be out tomorrow night. Thank you for the invite for Frank and I.
You're very welcome, Margaret.
And good night to you and to your husband, Steve. Thank you, Steve.
Well, I'll say hello to everybody out there. And my son, I want to say hello to our son, Seth, Justin, and Dylan.
I thought they were home with you.
Well, they are. They're right here. But I don't know.
Yeah, boys, did you hear say? Okay, so they didn't care anyway.
All right. Well, anyway, thank you very much, Steve.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Okay, bye.
Goodbye, Phil.
Hang up.
Goodbye. Hang up on them.
But they're not done.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Will you hang up on them, please?
They weren't done saying goodbye.
They weren't going to be done saying goodbye until you... That's Bobby and Steve. And I want to say something, Margaret. You were very gracious to her.
Yeah, I know, Sam. You're very nice to her.
Of course I'm nice to her. She's entering into a new phase of her life. You know, the boys are getting older. And I know what that's like. And although my son's younger, but she's entering into a new phase of her life, and I think this is good for her.
Well, I just think that it's really cool of you not to get angry or that she's sort of doing something that, you know, don't you wish you had a podcast?
No, I have to tell you, Phil, my life is full and rich with my column. I have Frank, I've got my son, I've got the radio show here, and to be perfectly honest with you, is there anyone listening?
Yeah, there's a radio audience.
Well, besides that, is there anyone...
Mind go check?
Go check around the office, bud. Make sure there's no one hanging around.
We got the whole radio audience listening.
Just do me this favor.
No, I don't see nobody around here.
All right. I think it's going to stink. I think she's going to stiff it up.
Oh, so you don't wish her well?
No, I do wish her well, but I'm not nervous... about her doing well, because I think it's going to stink. The stink coming off of this. Well, she'll stink it out.
Keyword being stink.
Well, Phil, it's a showbiz term. All right, she's going to lay a big egg.
You think she's going to go out and lay an egg out there, huh?
Absolutely.
Well, that's a heck of a thing. And here I thought you were being gracious, you know.
Phil, I do wish her well. But what do you want me to do? You want me to sit there and say, oh, and by the way, Bobby, I think you're going to lay the biggest egg in the world with this podcast. I'm not going to do it.
Why do you think she's going to lay an egg? I mean, I think if nothing else...
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. If nothing else, it's Bobby, the inimitable Bobby, interviewing, you know, Patty Arquette. I mean, it's going to be funny, I think. It's going to be a scream.
Well, I hope there's some sort of some kind of benefit from it, because I think it's going to stink the joint out.
Well, I mean, literally?
Not literally, bud. To stink the joint out is a showbiz term meaning you're bombing, okay?
There, you're bombing.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We'll be right back. Is it time to just, like, is it time to go home? You know, I've worked my ass off tonight, and we haven't. I feel like a man who's run 100 miles, and I've gotten 5 feet, you know?
Then you have 5 feet, or
you've gotten 5 feet.
Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
Are you listening to me? I said I feel like a guy that's run about, that's gotten, well, I guess you're right.
Yes, because the way you said that.
I feel like a guy that's run 100 miles, but it feels like I've only gone 5 feet. That's what I should have said.
Yeah, it said gotten.
All right, I apologize, guys. David Letterman shakeup in the Late Show Head Writers Department. What's going on with David Letterman? And obviously, you know, it's an interesting show, and we're fans of David Letterman, and then things are going to happen in the Hollywood world. So let's see what's going on with the David Letterman show. We got some other showbiz news coming up for you. Also, this very, very frightening story of two jets colliding on the ground in Miami, two passenger jets. When it said jets collide in Miami, I thought it was...
Yeah, the Dolphins or something.
And then I realized the season's over, and neither one of those teams are... in the playoffs. We'll be right back. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Coming up, we're going to, there he is. There's Phil on Phil TV and HD. Coming up, we're going to talk about a malware network called Red October that they have, have you heard of this? They think it is Chinese malware. And malware is basically, it's another word for a virus. Only malware is not just a virus, but it is, for instance, a bit of software introduced surreptitiously or you know, presenting itself as software that your computer might need. Maybe it's in a Java program for all I know. And then you find out once it's in the computer that it's doing its dirty work. And this particular malware network called Red October has targeted over the years governments in Eastern Europe. They believe that they are Russians that run it. They're using Chinese malware and they're attacking like the government of Russia and Eastern Europe and so on. In any event, they were able to disable it. How'd you like that? They were able to disable it.
Well, that's it's not quite alliteration.
All right. I've just learned that I'm just going to read this as if it's me. No, it's actually Nikki Fink writing for Yahoo TV. Quote, I've just learned that one of the longtime writers and producers of the Late Show with David Letterman, Matt Roberts, is becoming the new head writer effective immediately. The previous head writers, Justin and Eric Stangle, will remain as writers and producers with the show, but also get a fat new multi-year development deal with Worldwide Pants, the production company run by Letterman and Rob Burnett. The Stangle brothers are going to remain with the show as part of the deal because we need them, Rob Burnett just said to this writer, Nikki Fink. These guys are as good as it gets. The twosome have had an unusually long and successful 14-year run as Letterman's head writers and now will turn a lot of their attention to coming up with TV shows in any format for Worldwide Pants. For people like this, super valuable to the show, this deal keeps these guys from walking, Burnett said. He especially wanted to ensure the pair were signed to a deal in order not to repeat what happened when Letterman writers Carter Bays and Craig Thomas, who walked out the door of Worldwide Pants and created the long-running and profitable franchise How I Met Your Mother. The Stangle brothers are hilarious, says Nikki Fink. Remember their online antics with Bill Sheff during the writer's strike and look forward to their scripted and unscripted pitches, whatever they want to do, Burnett told me. So these are two writers that I guess are good. I thought that somebody got fired or something.
Maybe.
Well, meanwhile, Roberts will fly solo as the head writer after working his way up from an intern to the talent department as a guest wrangler, then a segment producer. Wow. Burnett said that he's a great writer. This is just, I thought someone got canned, you know.
Well, what? So you? It's not interesting?
No, it's not.
That's dumb. That's sadistic. Yeah, you're being like Lance Armstrong.
Oh, get out of here. No, congratulations, guy. You've got a fantastic thing happen to you there. See, so the economy may be bad, but there's a couple of guys there writing for David Letterman that just got new TV deals, so they're rock and roll. Jets collide in Miami on the ground with no injuries. Authorities say no one was injured when two commercial jets collided near the gates at Miami International Airport. Airport spokesman Mark Henderson told the Miami Herald on Thursday night that one plane had a damaged wingtip, the other sustained damage on the tail section. The collision happened between concourses J and H as an incoming Aerolíneas. It's an Argentina airline Airbus with 240 passengers aboard, struck an Air France 777-300 plane preparing to leave for Paris with 350 passengers on board. God, what a couple of, you know.
Those are two very big airplanes.
Two big airplanes, and like, and we're landing and you're taking off and bang, they hit each other. Talk about nerve-wracking, you know, because there's people that they don't like flying in the first place. You imagine not liking flying and then be actually being in an accident? That, why doesn't that drive somebody just stark raving mad?
Because they're dead.
Hello?
Oh.
What do you think going to happen, man? Maybe they go stark raving mad on before it hits the ground.
Well, what about this? This didn't... See, what I'm saying is, you know, any kind of an accident.
Well, I think...
You're talking about if you were afraid of flying.
If you're afraid of flying, if you don't like flying, if you hate flying, it's nerve-wracking, it's this, that. And, you got to fly because you're going to go someplace, you have to fly. And you get involved, and an actual accident happens, is what I'm saying. I bet you that just, what does that do to you? I mean, that's like, that's it, I'm never flying again.
Didn't you say you sat with a guy that never flew?
I did. I was on a train with a guy. This guy was he never flew again. He had been in a small plane accident, so he took trains everywhere. Anyway, Veronica Ramuto, a teacher, told the Miami Herald that she was walking to her seat 49F when she felt like an earthquake was happening. With one hand, she held her bag, and with the other, she held onto a chair, and with the other, she...
That means she got three hands.
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
Oh, God. I thought for a moment she was...
Yeah, three hands.
I did.
You did, huh? Well, there's no such thing.
Phil, don't start rolling your eye. Oh, boy, did I really put it over on them. When you say she grabbed this with one hand, she grabbed something else. Because naturally, you want to know what she's grabbing. And so the mind goes to filth. And you don't keep track of the number of hands. It's like being a woman in a lot of ways.
Why is it like being a woman?
Because you can't keep track of the number of hands.
Oh, you mean grabbing at you.
Exactly. Okay. If every time I say something like that, Phil, you look at me like I'm a lying sack of dung.
Well, I'm not thinking you're lying, but is this the time and place to be bringing up how many hands are grabbing at you?
Yes, because most of the time it's happening here. I'm only kidding.
Thank you. Anyway, she thought it was an earthquake. The boom, the ding. Investigations underway. Such fender benders are relatively rare. In April 2011, the Christian Science Monitor reported the world's largest passenger jet, the Airbus 380, clipped a smaller jet in New York. No one was injured on Monday night when the massive Air France 380 clipped the tail of a smaller Delta jet at John F. Kennedy Airport, said the Christian Science Monitor. Air France 380 also brushed the wing of an Airbus 330 that was parked at Charles de Gaulle Airport in Paris. In 2011. All right, so this stuff happens. And then we have Monty Tao. He denies involvement in the online girlfriend hoax. We have going on here, folks. I hope you're noticing this. I hope you're paying attention to this. This is not if you believe that we've got a problem with honesty, you're not getting the whole story. You're not getting the whole story. Now, I think this guy, Monty Tao, I think this guy has a personality problem. I think he's got a little bit of a mental problem. Not mental as in mentally deficient. I think he has an emotional problem. I don't know why I feel that way, but it sounds like the kind of badly constructed story that the end result of which may give him some kind of profit or some reward, but you'd think he'd put together a better story. Lance Armstrong, on the other hand, this is a guy that just has absolutely no conscience about anything, and now he's out to save his own ass because he saw this thing going to hell in a handcart.
You don't think he said that? He said it's because of his kids.
Of course he said it was because of his kids. This guy is the most self-serving slob in the history of man on this planet. Lance Armstrong is going to say it's about his kids because he wants things to reflect well on him. He lied through his teeth. He you know, targeted people for lawsuits. He targeted people for abuse and pressure. And now when he sees that the whole thing is coming apart, he's got to get ahead of the game. And he goes on Oprah and he does this pitch. And frankly, from what I've heard and from the people that I've talked to, it came off as dull as hell. It did, and I'll tell you why it's dull, because it's not sincere. And you gotta go some, man, to ask the right questions of a guy like that. This guy, this Monte Teo, sounds to me like he's a guy that concocted this horse dung just to get a little bit of love, you know?
Why don't you think he lied about it? Like, he's trying to get psychopathic and everything like that.
Because it doesn't strike me that way, man. You know?
What about the fact that he wants the Heisman Trophy?
Yeah, I can understand where you try to get a bio going or a backstory on yourself going about the Heisman Trophy, but this is just very clumsy and reflects more a guy who wants to get some kind of a reputation as a, you know, as a romantic guy. All right, we'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Henry.